Now, according to the word of God, the Bible shows we were made to shine in this world. We were created in the image of God after the likeness of Him. And God is a great God. And He will not reproduce small children, right? He will have to give birth to something or someone just like Himself. So I want to talk to you about fighting for your destiny. Fighting for your destiny. The only reason why you have to fight for your destiny is because there is an adversary, and that's the devil. And so you have to stand your ground and take your place of authority and put him where he belongs, because he will try every time to interrupt what God is said to do in your life. What is destiny? What is destiny? Destiny, as defined by the dictionary, which is, of course, to a larger percentage correct, may not be exactly so, but to a larger percentage. Destiny is a predetermined or preordained state or condition. It's a predetermined or preordained state or condition by God. God predetermined, God preordained a particular state that your life should be in, or condition that you are supposed to be in. God did it. It is that which God has planned ahead of time for you. Destiny is that which God has planned ahead of time for you. That is destiny. Now, I understand that there are different definitions for destiny, and I got a wrong one, actually. And let me read that to you. It's important to say what something is not if you want to get what it is sometimes. Okay, so this definition says the events that will necessarily, destiny is the events that will necessarily happen to a particular person in the future. It says it's the event that will necessarily happen to a particular person in the future. But according to the word of God, that's not correct. It is not the event that will necessarily happen to a person in the future. If you study the scriptures, you discover that you have your role to play. You can't just say, oh, my destiny. You know, like some people say, if God says I will marry him, I will marry him. I don't have to bother myself. If God says she's the one I'll marry, I'll marry her. If God says I will go to America, I will go to America. If God says I'll be rich, I'll be rich. Whatever God says we be, we be. They say we be. You're waiting for whatever we be, we be. No, it doesn't work like that in God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, we have our role to play. We have our part to play. All the time. Every time. You see? God cannot even do anything in your life without your permission, without by your permission. So that's why it's so important that you cooperate with him. You cooperate with him. That's how God functions. God will not just show up and, for instance, many of you here are born again. God did not get you born again. You see, he presented the gospel to you. He used the man to present the gospel. Then you made your choice. You chose to be born again. And then you followed the instructions that he has given to believe and to confess. And when you did that, you played your role well, and so you were born again. Now, if your part is not necessary, or that part is not important, then God would have gotten everybody in the world born again by now. And tomorrow we will enter into a millennium and wind all this thing up. Why are we gathered here? But because no, you have your own role to play always. No matter how great a destiny God has planned for you, if you don't play your role, you may never enter. You will be seeing it. It might be prophecies. You may see it. You may write it down. But if you don't play your part, you may never enter into it. So that you won't, you know, say, I'm full of wisdom. So you see, you don't act like a fool waiting for things to happen, waiting for something to happen to you. No, in this kingdom, we don't wait for things to happen to us. We make things happen. Okay. Now, if you turn to Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 10, to portray the right definition that I gave you earlier on. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 from the King James Version says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. God before ordained that we should walk in them. We should walk in them. Interesting. If you study from the Amplified Version, same book, same chapter, same verse. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. You see, the day you were born again was the day you were recreated from the old nature in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking parts. We are to take parts which he prepared ahead of time. If you choose, you can say, I'm not taking the part. Is it by force? And then you go your way. But you have to take parts that we should walk in them. We should walk in them. Living the... I received this one for myself. Living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. You see, God already prearranged, made ready the good life for us to live. And that's me in the name of Jesus. And discovering this, I made up my mind, I'm going to live that good life. Many people don't know this is in the word. Others even know, they don't take it seriously. No, listen, for every one of you, there's a good life prearranged for you. That's why I say it with all boldness, because I'm in the path. I will never be small. I'll never be poor. In the name of Jesus, the top is mine. That's my boldness. Now, glory to God. Because God, this God that has, you know, predetermined this destiny for us, is a great God, is this almighty God. And so, what do you expect in your path? Victory, winning. Because this God is a great God, what do you expect in your path? Greatness. That's what is expected. That's what you should fulfill if you are following what he has planned for you. Because he's a rich God, what do you expect? Wealth. Abundance, superabundance actually. And because he's the giver of all life, what do you expect? Life and good health. Eh? So that means all the time you are enjoying this good life, you are enjoying it with divine health, with strength, with vigor, with vitality. And yet you are enjoying all your money. Eh? Not they are taking you up and down with all the money. They are using that very nice car to take you to the best hospital. What's the pride? Say, you know, we just flew him to Germany. He's not living in health. We just flew him to India. They say, they are really rich. Oh, yes, he's rich, but he's sick. That's still poverty. Boy, I'll never be poor. You see, there are several areas of your life. You see, as a Christian, as a child of God, despite God has made all these goodies ready for you, there are several areas of your life that needs to be given attention to if you want to really enter into your great destiny as planned by God. There are seven areas of your life. Now, these seven areas, six of them are doors for the devil, for Satan to come in through. Once any of these six open up, the devil can come in. The last one is God himself who deals with you in that arena. And in my opinion, I think that's the worst. Because if the devil is dealing with you, God can still rescue you. If God is dealing with you, who will rescue you? So these seven areas of your life, six of them are doors through which the devil can stand against you. Through them, he can gain access to your life. Okay, and I want to begin to give them to you now. Make sure you are attentive. In the word of God is the power of God. So we need to look at the word before we begin to pray. You understand? Number one, your thought life. Your thoughts. You know, many people don't take their thoughts seriously. They just let anything run through their minds. There is the mystical power in our thought life that attracts and draws to us. It is mystical, is mysterious. You can't really explain it. There's something about it that makes our thoughts draw to us the very things that we thought about deeply. Whatever you think about over a period of time, you are calling for it. It's coming. It's coming. It's God that made it that way. That's why Job got in trouble for this thing. That's why he was rich. He was big. And everything was going on with him. The Bible says he was afraid. He was always afraid. And he was always thinking, I'm not safe. I'm not safe. And the Bible says as a result, he sacrificed a lot of sacrifices to God. Why? Because he was afraid. I don't want my children to die. All this money that I have, they should just fly away. That was the problem. Until he opened the door for the devil and the devil came in. Some people think that it was God who tempted Job. No. According to the scriptures, book of Job, as you study, you discover that it was Job himself. He said, I was not in safety, and yet I was not quiet. Who told him he was not in safety? When the devil came to God, the Bible says Satan appeared before God. When the devil came to God, the devil testified before God that God had this edge around him. The devil knew it. And the Bible says the one that breaks the hedge, the serpent will bite. Who's the serpent? That's the devil. So with his fears, he broke that edge. The devil was able to come in. So when Satan came and was talking to God about Job and said, you see, is it not because of everything he has? let's just deal with him and you'll see that he will curse you. God said, no. But then God looked and saw something. God said, see, he's now in your hand. He's now in your hand. God said, but don't touch his life. God says, behold, he's in thy hand. Because he broke that edge. And so you see many times, oh, well, it's God who tempted. No, it wasn't God. It was Job himself. His thoughts, his fearful thoughts. Glory to God. Thoughts are magnetic. Thoughts are powerful. Thoughts can be dangerous. Simply defined, thoughts are silent words. It has been said that your thoughts are as loud in heaven as your words are on earth. Thoughts. You are not different from your thoughts. Proverbs chapter 23, 7, 8. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are not different. Listen, what you are today was as a result of your thoughts in the past. What you will be in the future will be as a result of your thoughts right now. The level you will be. You are not different from your thoughts. Proverbs chapter number 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter number 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's a powerful scripture. Out of it are the issues of life. He says you should keep your heart. He's talking about your thoughts. Be careful about what comes in. Don't just let anything go around in your thinking. Because you may be bringing them, you may be attracting them. Listen, even before I was born again, I didn't understand the power of thought like this. But I noticed that if I thought deeply about something again and again and again, there is a way that thing will just happen later on. They once asked a very popular musician many, many years ago, no longer alive now, of course. They asked him and said, have you had your dreams come to pass? He said, most of my dreams at that time. He said, most of my dreams have come to pass. What was he trying to say? Most of my imaginations. What does that mean? What are imaginations? These are your thoughts put in pictures. He says that most of them. The guy was not born again. But he had this, you know, this. Some people have strong will. Some people, there's a way they think deeply about something. Even in the other part of the spirit, you know, all these dark, those in the dark world. They understand meditation. They do it. Thoughts, the power of thought. You may stay there and you are enjoying it, but you are getting in trouble. Enjoying thoughts, enjoying these nasty thoughts. Power of thought. Thoughts. So important. Your thought life. Proverbs chapter number 4, verse 23. Now let's look at the NLT. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. From the Message translation, it says, keep vigilant. Watch over your heart. That's where life starts. From your heart. The good life begins from there. The bad life begins from there. If you think in your life that you will never go down, nothing will make you go down. Listen, if you think in your heart that nobody can kill you, nobody will be able to. You cannot kill a man who is not ready to die. A man who is not ready to be killed by anybody. You cannot kill him. A man who has given up already. Just a little thing. He said, they just push him. He fell down. And that's it. He's given up already. Don't you see those conductors and, you know, passengers when they are fighting? Just one slap. Ah, the conductor with all his mouth. He falls down. And that's the end. And that's your guy. You are not going. You know, you see? He's dead. Just nah. Ah, it's only a small slap. I even give my little junior. No, they say no. This one. You see? And because of the power of thought, God, all those that God made great in the scriptures, he had to help their thinking first. That was what he did with Abraham. Abraham could not comprehend it. How could you call me a father of many nations when I don't even have a child yet? God said, all right, I have to help you. And God took him out. The Bible says God told him to look up, count the number of stars. Count the number of stars. So he tried. He didn't get what God was trying to see at first. When he counted and he kept missing it, and he said, Lord, this is a serious task. I can't count them. God said, that's how your children will be. Ah, that helped his thinking. Right away, wow, as many as stars? So he believed it. It was able to help him. And then God said, something else. Your name will no longer be Abram. It will be Abraham, just to help his thoughts. And the moment he started thinking right, he aligned with God. The same thing, Gideon from the least family, from the 12 tribes of the children, from these children of Israel, the 12 tribes, his own family was the least of them. So he couldn't believe that he would be the one to help Israel out of their trouble. But when that angel of the Lord appeared, what did he say? He says, mighty man of valor. He had not fought a war before, prior to this time. Yet he called him mighty man of valor. How can you call somebody who never fought a war mighty man of valor? Just to help his thinking. And when he started accepting it, of course, God tried as much as he can. Gideon did not accept it completely. He still accepts. But the little he accepted, God was still able to use him. God said, as a man, you would defeat the Midianite. As one man. Gideon did not understand that language. He went to gather plenty of people. God said, okay, you know what? Let's just reduce them. Let's reduce them. God gave him a sign. Those who did this, those who drank like a dog, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so he was able to get it. All right, 300 people. God said, all right, you can go with those 300. But what did God say originally? As one man. It would have been a record that as one man, Gideon defeated them. But you see, his thought was not exactly correct. But at least God was able to help him to a level. Your thought life, so important. David had to be helped to think also of defeating Goliath. How? First, God had to help him defeat the lions and the bears. So that gave him boldness. So that when Goliath start talking like a bear too, and lion, he will remember what he did. He defeated the lion, the bear. So you will be like one of them. God had to help him. Glory to God. Your thoughts life. Number two, your words. Your words. Words are powerful. Words are destructive. Words are constructive. Words can be dangerous. Words is there's something called Almighty Formula in mathematics. Did you ever know about that? Okay, Almighty Formula in mathematics, what's it called? Board mass, thank you. Now, that Almighty Formula, according to how we were taught, should be able to solve all the maths. But as we went further, we discovered not everything. But at its level, it was Almighty, right? Now, this one is Almighty, Almighty. The power of your words, your words. In God's kingdom, it's an Almighty Formula. There is nothing that God will do in your life or anywhere else without words. If he's ever going to create anything, it will be by words. If you are ever going to come to God, it will be by words. You were born again by words. So there is nothing. It has to, even if a man of God wants to bless you, he cannot just put his hand like this and stay. No, he will say something. Something has to come out. Do you understand? Because God, whatever he does by words. It's always in the equation. Do you understand? It's always in the equation. It must be there. Words must be there. For any results that you get in this kingdom, if you check the equation, words will be there. The power of words. God does not joke with words. But human beings, having no enough sense, joke with words. Can you see that? Let me show you some things. Genesis chapter number 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. All right? It seems like God started doing magic and doing some things. Verse 2, blah, blah, blah. Verse 3. And God said, so the Bible shows us how God started doing the creation. He said, let there be this, let there be that, let there be this. So words, with words, he was creating them. With words, he was creating them. The power of words. The most important thing in this kingdom is salvation. That's the most important thing. That's where everything begins. If you're not born again, you have wasted away already. You can't say you are not born again. I love God. I'm still a child of God. But are you born again? Is that born again thing I don't just like? But I'm a child of God. But you love God very well. But that born again thing, I don't just want it. Okay. Will you make heaven? Of course, I will enter heaven. It's just that I don't want that born again thing. Okay. Well, both you are deceiving yourself. The devil is deceiving you. Your mind is everything. He's just deceiving you. You cannot be saved or receive salvation without speaking. Romans chapter number 10. Reading from the 9th verse. Romans chapter number 10. Reading from the 9th verse. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth. Words. And we said the most important thing is in this kingdom is salvation. If words is what gives birth to the most important thing in this kingdom, then that principle will stand anywhere else in whatever we are dealing with in this kingdom. That's why you must not just talk anyhow. Matthew chapter number 12, verse 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Your words. Why do people end up in hell? Their words. And one day I will teach you about that. So powerful, so important. Do you know that people are in hell right now because of what they didn't say? And some of you are wondering now, what is that? I'll leave that for another day. You don't joke with words in this kingdom. I say, I was just playing. Playing? There's no play in the kingdom of God. Imagine Jesus say some things and I'll say, I will just play it though. Ah, play. No joke. When your words come out, they become law in the spirit realm. Don't you understand? They become law in the spirit realm. When you say, I am healed, it becomes a law in the spirit world. It begins to process, to work on coming to pass until you stop it again. Say, I don't even understand. I don't think I'm healed anymore. You stop it. The power of words. James chapter number 3, reading from the 5th verse. James 3 from the 5th verse. Okay? Let's look from the NLT. All right. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing. Small thing, you say. Small thing, well, tongue. That makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Spark. Next verse. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness. The tongue is a word on its own. It's a flame of fire. No wonder some people have set their whole life on fire with their tongue. You just talk anyhow. You want to have a great destiny? I know. You must know how to, you must learn to manage your mouth first, your tongue. If you don't learn that, you can't have a great destiny. You'll be in. And I'm talking about children of God. Even those who are not children of God, this law is working against them. Not to talk of you who is anointed. Don't mind me. I'm not always serious. You are not always serious. And then in your life, you now notice that, yes, things that are serious, you are not serious until you lose important things, important connections. When they are telling you something important, you say that you now discover that, you see, you've positioned yourself in the realm of the spirit. It has become law in your life that you don't get serious when serious things show up. You say, is that one? I didn't mean it. You didn't mean it. Angels don't know you didn't mean it, though. The realm of the spirit does not understand that I was just joking. It's a lie. Forget that thing. I was joking. You will kill me with laughter. Power of words. Must you say you will kill me? Must you use that language? Must you say it? You are funny. You are funny. Enough. You see, some things now happen. We now say, oh, God is mysterious. Oh, stop it. It's not. I told you about that story of that man of God that stood in front of someone, wanted to minister healing to him. This man obviously is in pains. And the man of God wants to minister, just looking at him, you know, having this sympathy on him. Wants to minister to him. And as he was about to stretch forth his hand, God said, don't touch him. He cannot come out of this situation. Why? He says, because this man, by his mouth, has put in motion a law in the realm of the spirit that cannot be reversed at this time. He has so said something. That thing has become a law in the realm of the spirit. He can't reverse it at this time.
Glory to God.
You know, these are the kind of words that the devil will fight. He doesn't want you to hear it. Because once you discover this truth and you begin to run with it,
glory, 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 glory.
Power of words. Let's read this on. Next verse. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless. Have you ever been there where your mouth always wants to speak? Even the thing they did not call you. An evil full of deadly poison. The tongue that you are worshipping. To me, I love to say my mind. Your mind? Let me give him the peace of my mind. And by the time you give him the dirty peace of your mind, everybody is in trouble. Peace of your mind. Next verse. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father. And sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. You see them. I'm an apostle. I will utter a curse over your life. An apostle. No, we don't do that under the New Testament. We don't curse human beings. We've been called to bless. We don't curse. We don't threaten anybody. With the same mouth. Next verse now. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. This is not right. It's not right. Some of you may be the kind of family you were raised in. You talk anyhow. See your head like Kondo. See your heart like this. You see, you have different words. Your mouth just keeps saying everything. The same mouth. And you say, Father, I declare that I love you. He look at you and say, no. You just insulted the guy that was made in my image. And you love me? Words. The power of words. Don't let it destroy you. Don't just see anything about your life. Watch it. You want to have a great destiny? Your words are important. Your words are important. You must be careful how you speak. You must be careful what you say. He says, no man can tame the tongue. Of course. But the Holy Ghost can tame your tongue. That's why as you walk with the Spirit of God, your tongue can be tamed. Most importantly, as you pray more with tongues, it will tame your tongue. Sometimes you talk too much. When you begin to pray more in tongues, before you talk too much, you know, all this place will just be paining you. Say, please, I just, glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, let's move to the next one. Number three, the pleasure of sleep. I told you we'll talk about it. These are destiny fighters. A young man or woman, God has prophesied good things about your life, but this thing will not let you rest. You are known for it anywhere you are. In the bus, anywhere they put you, even on the boats, others are afraid. You are sleeping. The pleasure of sleep. You need to rescue yourself from it. Rest. Let me show you something. So it won't be as the, but you help me rush, okay? Because I'm going to be showing you all this. You will see all the scriptures. You are not standing up. You see all the scriptures. It's destiny recovery. All right, now. I want Proverbs chapter number 6, verse 4. NLT. All of them NLT. No King James. Let's read from our own English. Nobody will pretend that you don't know what is there. Don't put it off. Do it now. Don't rest until you do it. Okay, next verse. Save yourself like a gazelle, escaping from a hunter, like a bird fleeing from a net. Next verse. Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Next verse. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. But you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? Some people will sleep. They will sleep. They will be the early, you know, they will go to bed early. You know, they will sleep by 8. They wake up by 8. Some people are like that. How can you stay and sleep 10 hours? That's not even 10 hours. But I'm talking about some people that even sleep 10 hours now. How can you sleep 10 hours? He said, didn't science said that sleep is good for us? Listen, you do that, you are wasting away. Come on. What do you want to do with your life? Sleep? Even to sleep 8 hours is not right. You have 24 hours in a day. You sleep 8 hours out of 24 hours. That's 1/3 of the day. Every day all through your life, 1/3 of your life on sleep. No, it's a serious matter. It's even bad for a young person. And these people that sleep this 10 hours, not they won't have a nap in the afternoon. They say, I want to have a short nap. You are now confessing great destiny, greatness. Is that how it is done? No, I will show you. The scripture is replete about these things. Next verse. When will you wake up? He's asking you. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Ah, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Now listen, this is the word of God. This is God's word that cannot be broken. He's telling you the results. These are the kind of things that should get your attention in the scriptures. He's telling you the results of your attitude, of your lifestyle. It can be predicted. That's what he's saying. And he's showing you scarcity will attack you like armed robber. See, I reject it in Jesus' name. You better watch your sleep. Let me show you another one. Proverbs 10:5. A wise youth harvests in the summer, but one who sleeps during harvest is a disgrace. He's trying to tell you that there is time for everything. There's time for everything. 20, chapter 20, verse 13. I want the scripture to talk for itself on this one. If you love sleep, you will end in poverty. Now listen, I'm reading to you from a book of wisdom, from the book of wisdom. Do you understand? This guy that wrote this was the wisest man before Jesus came. God gave him the wisdom. The problem is, I don't know what to do about my body. Before any small thing, now, I'm already sleeping off. Any small thing, I'm sleeping off. What are you talking about? Can't you discipline yourself? Yeah, I don't even stay in front of TV. Once I start seeing TV, I begin to sleep. What is the matter with you? Now, if an old person is doing that, it's still understandable. As young as you are. You better learn to be agile. If you love sleep, you will end in poverty.
Keep your eyes open.
It doesn't say pray that God will keep it. You
keep it open.
And there will be plenty to eat. What is he saying? Those who are at the top are not those who sleep 10 hours. They are not those who sleep 8 hours.
Listen to them.
Just listen to them.
When you are sleeping is when the guy is awake. In the middle of the night, he's busy. Those who determine what happens in the life of others, they plan it while others are sleeping. The scientists that discover this, sleepless nights.
You see, even if you are going into the ministry, say it's full time you'll be sleeping.
More responsibility. I'm trying to remember the last time I slept 8 hours, because he said I'm sleeping by 12. Maybe I sleep early. I sleep by 1, and when you sleep by 12 or by 1, and you wake up around 6:30 or 7, what is that? Even if you decide to sleep longer, when you have children that are, you understand? When you sleep, many times I sleep by 3, 4, and a few other times around 5.
You want to, greatness is at the very top. No, it's the mountain top.
Proverbs chapter number 23, verse 20. This is God's word. I want you to see it. 23:21. For they are on their way to poverty, and too much sleep clothes them in rags. King James of this same. For the drunkard and glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. See what he's doing? He's comparing somebody who likes sleep too much with a drunkard and a glutton. He says all of you are family members. Proverbs 24, verse 33. So what will I now be doing if I'm not sleeping? I'll tell you shortly. It's because you are not serious about life. If you are serious about destiny, you will not be sleeping away time like that. Who's that? Good. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Now watch this. Did you notice we read this before? The law of double mention. When something is mentioned twice, word for word in the scriptures, I've told you, take it doubly seriously. Is that strong? How can he be saying the same thing again, twice? God's word cannot be broken. Don't you understand? It cannot be broken. You can't say it's a dispensation of grace, then you sleep away all life. Grace will not cover for that one. Let's move on. Number 4. This should be called the elder brother of sleep. Laziness. Do you know why some evil things happen to some people? How does the devil gain access into many people's lives? In their sleep. It will come. Dream will come. It gains access. Or they are sleeping and it comes around. In their sleep. The Bible says, why men slept, the enemies came and sowed tares. Why men slept? Jesus said, watch and pray. Sleeping. You can sleep anywhere, everywhere. You sleep inside a car until they carry you away. You are still sleeping. You now wake up somewhere. If you had woken earlier, you would have been able to, you were able to shout around. Say, where are you people taking me? People would have heard and say, yeah, you people. No. They took you away. You see what is happening to you? Your body is your God. Your flesh is your God. You are worshiping your flesh. And what should I do? I feel like sleeping now. Because I feel like sleeping. Won't I sleep? Will I kill myself? You cannot cheat nature. Nature will cheat you. Listen, I know what I'm saying. Why do you think that some people that you think they don't have that much ability, they are on top already? You that you think you have ability, where are you? Because you don't know what, you are not there when that guy was paying the price. And is climbing to the top. You say you want to promote this thing you are doing. How many times have you read about it? wake up in the night, sit down, read about it. How many times have you improved yourself in the nighttime? How many times have you prayed? You just finish it in bam on the bed. And that's all. Till the following morning. Tell me, you are sleeping like that. The devil does not sleep. Demons don't sleep. And you are sleeping. And the devil comes around. I'll postpone the rest. Laziness. Proverbs chapter number 6, verse 6. Okay, we read it before. Into 9. NLT, good. Take a lesson from the hands. God is telling you to go and study the hands. See how God put you down because of laziness. You, God's image. You, created in God's likeness. God can see that the sense is not complete. So go and study the hands. Now, this thing I just said now, how can you say the sense is not complete? We will read it shortly. The Bible says no common sense. You will see it soon. I will show it to you. No, listen. It's all in the Word. I'm not using any language that came from me. From the Word. I will show that to you now. Take a lesson from the hands, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. What is he trying to say? You are not wise. So go and let them teach you. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. Some people don't know this concept. There is a winter, there is a summer. There is a time in your life where you gather food. There is a time in your life where you invest in yourself. Listen, there is a time in your life, even if you are in ministry, there is a time in your life that it will be full of fasting and praying. There are days like that, studying, fasting, and praying. Because the day will come that you will not have the time again. You will be busy. Going up and down. So all those reservoirs that you have is what will keep carrying you. Those who are on top right now, the fathers that are in ministry right now as we speak, they don't pray as much they did in the early days. Listen to them. They will tell you that in the early days, they will stay in one place, pray 12 hours. But there was one time we shut ourselves 3 days, we were still praying. They can't do that anymore. They've gotten busy. Except very once in a while when the Spirit of God prompts them again. You know, they have to set aside time. They can't be doing that anymore now. Because what you are doing is you are investing. What are you putting in yourself? You are investing. Why? Oh, gathering food. The day will come that you will show up to the world, you become invaluable. They will need you. You can't go. The moment you show up, they say, we need this guy. Where have you been? You've been somewhere working on yourself. You've been in the hidden. Do you understand? Working on yourself. At that time, you may see others going. Just relax. It's as though they are going ahead. Relax. Just say to yourself, I'm still working on myself. When I show up, they'll say, wow, where has he been? And then you become hotcake. You go up and then you stay there. Continually. Not you rush up and they see you for a while. You're down again. Chapter 10, verse 4. Same book. Chapter 10, verse 4. Lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. The Bible talks about hard work in this kingdom. Lazy people, no matter the amount of grace, you must learn to work hard. I wouldn't just show up now and say, okay, now, which message will I preach? I start somewhere, worked on it. Listen to the Spirit of God. Prayed about it. Okay, what should I say? For days and weeks, I've been praying about, Lord, what should I tell them for this program? And then I start preparing it, putting it together. Not that you just stay somewhere and say, hey, no, what will I go? Okay, let me just, then you not get there. You don't have something to preach. Somebody tell your neighbor, love, you roku tree, love, you say, yeah. Say, yeah. All through this, yeah. Not that way. Lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. It's a law. It's a law. But when you are hardworking with grace on top, you get wealthy. You get influential. I'll never be small. Verse 26, same book, same chapter. Verse 26. Lazy people irritate their employers. It's true. Like vinegar to the teeth. or smoke in the eyes. Have you ever had smoke in your eyes coming? Ah, oh, remove this thing. Ah, he says that's how lazy people are to their employers. They employ you are lazy about everything. I'm very spiritual and considerate, and I love you, but yet you cannot stay there and work for me if you are lazy. I've worked in a secular job before, and I was the leader, the boss at our level. And I knew how I would not tolerate nonsense. I'm a Christian. We speak with tongues. After we are done, then we'll come together and we'll laugh again. But this work, you must take it seriously. And some of them didn't know what to do with me. They can't get rid of me because God is with me strong. Because there is time for everything. You must learn it. If you're going to be a leader, you must learn it. If you're going to have a great destiny, you must learn it. You must be disciplined about your life. Don't just let anything happen. So important. Proverbs. This wise book, I love it. Chapter 12, verse 24. Work hard and become a leader. Can you see that? Be lazy and become a slave. It has nothing to do whether you are a Christian or not. It's a law. And that's why you see those who are not Christians, they are working hard. They are leading. Christians are coming in their laziness, coming to bow under them. You with the Holy Ghost. What that guy knows, if only you would have yielded yourself, Holy Spirit would have taught you even extra. His own knowledge would be nonsense beside you. Would be rubbish when you show up. Because the upgraded version is what you will carry. Laziness. Terrible. 13:4. I want the word of God to speak. Lazy people want much but get little. But those who work hard will prosper. Another law. 15:19. A lazy person's way is blocked briars. Why? Opportunities are far from him. Why? Because preparation plus opportunity equals success. If you are not prepared, the opportunity will not come. Even if it comes, you cannot enter. You are not prepared. And nobody is dumb to know that. Once they see you are not prepared, get out. It's like those who come to the singing competition. They have the judge seated, and then you are not prepared. And you now come there, they say, singers, how great a heart! They say, what is this? Get out! You see? Mm-hmm. But the path of the upright is an open highway. Who is the upright? The one that does the word of God. 18:9. I want you to see different version of it as the Lord is saying it. A lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things. It's true. It's true. 24:30. I walk by the feet of a lazy person. The vineyard of one with no common sense. Did you see it? I wasn't the one that said it. He said he doesn't have common sense. Now, if you study the scriptures, you'll be amazed at how much the Bible talks about common sense. Some people don't know the Bible talks a lot about common sense. It says a lot about common sense. And let us know that it's God who gives common sense. This is one area that we need to teach Christians. Many times, you need to apply common sense even for your progress. Many times, you need to apply common sense for your safety. Many times. But Christians don't know it. That will be another day's talk. 26:13. The lazy person claims there's a lion on the road. Yes, I'm sure there's a lion out there. Next verse now. As a dog swings back and forth on its hinges, so the lazy person turns over in bed. He says, the reason I'm not going is because there's a lion there. So he's not standing up from bed. Some of you are surprised that these things are in the scriptures. They are. They are. So he just keeps turning. Stand up and go and do it now. I'll go later. I'll go later. I'll do it later. His turn is giving an excuse or excuses. All right, another one. 21:25. We're almost there. 21:25. Despite their desires, the lazy will come to ruin, for their hands refuse to work. Oh! 12:11, finally. I don't have to explain. You understand the English. A hard worker has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies has no sense. Do you know who he's talking about? Do you know what fantasies are? The guy is on Instagram. Always. See what he's chasing? He says that guy has no sense. On Facebook, on Twitter, on the internet, not making real progress. He's chasing fantasies. He looks at some of the things there. He also wants to behave like them. So he goes to stand in front of someone's building, snaps himself, and put it on Instagram. Stay in front of someone's car, snaps himself, and put it on Instagram. Borrow somebody's clothes, dress like this, snaps himself, and put it on Instagram. You see, fantasies. Fantasy. That's what he's chasing. He said he has no sense. At least you should remember these words. When you begin to drift away and you find that you have to say, I have sense and I shouldn't go in this. You understand? This is frank talk from the Word of God. This is for your life as a young person. Your life. You plan it from now. There are some fathers that you want to associate with. There are some that you don't want to. There are some mothers that you want to talk about and associate with. There are some that you don't want to talk about. Make yourself one that people want to associate with. When you are working on yourself, they may not see you. They may not want to come close. They may not. You know, people don't associate with a man that is not yet successful. Not yet. I know. But in your mind, don't be bitter. Just keep working on yourself. The day will come, they will come from everywhere. They come from, because now, it's called good measure. You are full now. So you cannot show up to the world and say, here I come. And whatever shows up, you will dominate. You have mastered. Do you understand? By working on yourself. But if you've not worked on yourself and you're just, okay, I'm going, Lord, the future is mine. You know, I'm going to be singing all over the world, every platform. What are you doing about this singing? What? I'm good at technology and all the world, but what are you doing about it now? Are you working on yourself? Are you brushing yourself up? Are you studying more? Are you learning more? All those things are important. And don't be deceived by the celebrity. You listen, the ones you're seeing, they worked on themselves. They may not tell you that part. They just want you to see them as demigods or whatever. They worked on themselves. They may not tell you the secrets. It takes only the love of Christ to come out and be telling you some secrets. Because they don't want you to come to their level.
Glory to God. Pray in the Holy Ghost more. Arate soko rapale. Hibaranto shekelon so prakedo sekira shatabaha. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
You know, I told you, these are just doors that the devil could use. You sleep, he can come through that. Laziness, he can use that against you. Through your laziness. He will appeal to your flesh, talk to your flesh, keep blowing you breeze. Even when great opportunity is coming, you are there lazy. Stand up and go. That's how some people have missed it. I don't just feel like going. It's not that the Spirit of God is telling him not to go. He doesn't just feel like. His body wants to sleep. His body wants to rest. And then others go. Then he discovers that he has missed an opportunity. He will now be comforting himself, consoling himself. Maybe God does not just want it. Maybe God didn't. It's not God. It's you. You have missed something important in your life. And may take another cycle. Some people, the things that involve their life, they will be pushing them. Go now. Go for this thing. It's just that I don't want to force myself. The way my body is. Okay, what do you want to do while you're at them? I just want to rest. Number five, the pleasure of food. The pleasure of food. If you study the scriptures, you'll be amazed how many times you find food, eating in the Bible, which means people really involved in it a lot. I think, in my opinion, that that's something that everybody would have involved in most time of his life, because there are people who eat three times a day, some eat four times a day, some even five times a day. Yes, they give it different names. It's brunch, it's dessert, it's all food though, so they don't want to call it that. Food is not bad. God created it. But when you are in love, anything you love, you will worship some way. You will idolize. When they begin to tell you, you love food, oh, you love food, and you are saying, yeah, I know. People know that I love food. Know that you are in trouble already. Listen, I'm talking to you as Christians. Now, as a Christian, you are not supposed to. Whatever you love, you've attached so much importance. And so, there are times that you cannot do without it. Not even times. You can't do without it. They say we should fast. Till when? Ah, I can't do that though. I won't lie. Till 6 o'clock, somebody should fast. Till 6. 6. Ah, no. Ah, I've never tried it before. And if I try it, my stomach, the way my stomach, it will be biting me. Your stomach will be biting you. This is why many people don't fast. Apart from the fact that for the medical reasons that fasting is even good for your health. Spiritually, fasting is very good for you. Some people cannot fast like that. When you begin to see everything else, glory to God, receive it, everything is sweet. But you know, you say, from tomorrow we will fast. Their faces will drop. Fasting. Let him fast. 12 o'clock. He has gone to break. And you want to take the word. Don't you understand that the word, this word is spiritual. Life is spiritual. As a Christian, listen, I'm not talking about as an unbeliever. As an unbeliever, you can be everywhere, anywhere. The devil is compensating you for hell. He knows he has to know. You can jump anywhere, anywhere. It will just be as though the door is opening. It's just opening anywhere. As long as you are promoting the word and everything you are doing is about the word. This word. It's free ride. You'll just be going. But when it comes to a Christian, the devil will try to stop you. I'm talking about a Christian who is really serious. Because he knows that once you come in, you become an influence. And you will change other people. No matter what, maybe you want to, politics, educational system, whatever, wherever, as long as you are going there to lead, just get ready. You are going to clash with some powers. The devil will try to stop you. Where are you going? No, you can't go. But how do you deal with him? Prayer, fasting. Jesus said, this kind goeth not out except by praying and fasting. There are some demons that will not obey until you fasted. There are some that will not leave until you fasted. Why? Because when you fast, you become sensitive. You know how to deal with this one, this kind. You'll be able to pick it from the spirit, that wisdom that it requires. There are some demons, you shout at them, they go. There are some you don't need to shout. Those wisdom comes when you fast and pray. You are sensitive to the spirit of God. There are some you don't have to say anything. Just lay hands on the person. The demon knows he cannot stay. He will just... But when you like food so much, even by yourself, as a Christian, every Christian ought to have days that you fast. The Bible says when you fast, even if it's a few times in a month, but all through a whole month, a Christian, you did not fast. A whole month, what were you doing? Three times a day, you are just eating. Now you are a student, you say, I'm in school now, I don't eat three times a day. You say, how do you do it? You say, in the morning, when I eat my concussion rice, in the night, maybe Indomie. What do you now eat in that? Ah, I just saw Gari. What about Gari? Is that one not food? I see, I bought Coca-Cola and snack because I was at lectures and so on. Your body, there are times that you don't necessarily fast. Listen, it's called a fasted life. Not that you are really fasting. You just choose not to eat. Some people so like food that after they finish eating, when you look at their plate, you wonder, what did you eat? Because you can't find what he ate. No trace of it. They will lick it clean. You'll be wondering, what did you say you ate? Oh, they are part of it. One, there is a party. Once there is a party, they didn't invite you. You say, we are students now. Let me just enter. You sit down, you eat. This is how demons have entered people's lives through food. And I'm serious. Demons enter people's lives through food. Something you are not supposed to eat. Because they know you like food too much. Even in real life. If they know they can't catch you in real life, they'll come in sleep. They'll bring the food. And you still sit down and eat it. Proverbs 23, verse 2. If you are a big eater, put a knife to your throat. Put a knife to your throat. That was what saved. Did you know that was discipline? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to eat the king's portion. They would have said, wow, yeah, nice food. But they refused. Why? Because of their God. Discipline. Some people don't have it. They don't have D. Not talk of discipline. They don't have it. Anyway, even the place you are not supposed to eat, the service, man of God, will you eat something?
Yeah.
And you will sit down. Balance. You will be preaching, you'll be eating. Yes. In the scriptures, the Bible says, you are eating, man of God. It's terrible how people let their senses rule over them. And yet, in the kingdom of God, you cannot be spiritual. Listen, the true measure of spirituality is how much you have been able to dominate your senses. When we say somebody is spiritual, we mean somebody who has been able to dominate his senses to a certain level. When we say he is more spiritual, that means he has been able to master it even more. So what are we working on? We are working on how we can dominate our senses more and more so we can be more spiritual. Not that everything you feel like, you just jump around. You do everything you feel like. No, you ought to tell your flesh, no, I'm not supposed to be going that way. I'm a wise person. A wise person is the one that goes in the way that he ought to go, not the way he feels like going. There's a difference. There are some things that you may like, but they are not good for your destiny. So what do you say? You rob yourself of them. You say, no. No, no, no. It may be hard, but you know where you are going. Otherwise, you just want to be amongst others who hail others, but they don't do anything. It's like when the football is being played, or basketball, or whatever ball, and there are people, you see them sitting at the grandstand. They are all seated there. They are not the ones playing. All they are there to do, they are called spectators. They are there to clap, to hail. When that group, when they win, who gets the trophy? Them. The guy up there is only there looking. When they are going to pay, who gets the money? This one's down here. Those ones up there, they're only looking. They paid to come and watch. They use their time to come and watch. And after they are done, they go out. They use energy to shout and to hail. And then they leave. This guy playing down here is the one who's winning. He's getting richer. And after they leave, they will still leave that place to go and hug you. It's a lie. No. If not because of the way the other one kicked it. No, it's that guy that stood in the door. He's still arguing. Making nothing. Wasting his time. Wisdom is too high for a fool. That's what the Bible says. Say, I'm wise. These are words of wisdom. That's also in Proverbs, but I don't want to show you that today. Number 6. We are almost there. The pleasure of sex. The pleasure of sex. Any pastor, anybody, I'm sure pastor will not, the one that has the knowledge of the word of God will not. Any Christian who claims to be a teacher of the word that tells you that sex is demonic is lying. Is lying. Saying that will be preaching against God's word and God's nature. Sex is not demonic. It's completely holy. That's scriptures. The reason why people think about it as demonic is because of what they see in their word. They think, you know, when they have sex, you know, with whoever, they feel guilty after they're done. They just try to shake it off, like shake the guilt up. So because of that, they feel like what I'm doing is wrong. Sex is bad. It is wrong. No. The reason you're feeling guilty is because you're not doing it right. So when, according to God's design, it should be in marriage. When it's in marriage, it's both holy, it's a blessing, and God blesses you for it. Listen, is that important? God blesses you for obeying what is said in his word. He said you must ensure you have sexual intercourse in marriage. You must do it. If you don't do it, he says it's coming for you. Because it will be wickedness against the other person. That's what the Bible says. Look at it. Direct opposite. When you do it outside marriage, you're looking for trouble. And yet, it seems to be everywhere now. Everybody thinks, well, everybody else does it. Doesn't matter. It doesn't even make sense to some people. How can you have a girlfriend? Eh? You have a girlfriend. You've not had sex with her. Ah, look at you, you're a fool. You've not had sex with her. All this while that you people. So what's the essence of the... You see, that's why a Christian does not have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. That's not the life we live. It's the life of the world. We don't live like that. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. If something is popular, does not make it right. If many people is supporting a lie, will it change it to become true? A lie is still a lie. If they do it even sophisticatedly, if they do it fashionably, it doesn't still make it a true. Some of the problems you have is your worldly celebrities. Fashionably. I mean, the guy has one girlfriend over there, the other girlfriend over there, the other, all of them have children. And that's the person you are following. Did you read when we talk about common sense the other time? How could such a person be your mentor? You carry the Holy Ghost. The guy does not carry the Holy Ghost. He doesn't even know what he's doing. He's confused. He said, who is talking about confused? We are talking about money. Really? And you are poor? You think so? When there was a years ago, in fact, I talked about a musician who was really rich. When he died, he was like chicken. With all the singing, with all the jumping, with all the dancing, you saw him on stage, say, wow, so energetic, dear Jesus. But when he died, he was like chicken. Couldn't move anything anymore. That's the end. He was almost worshipped by human beings. Where is he today? Because some of them have become your God. People who don't have enough sense. You think where they have direction, they don't have direction. They are only going with the tide. They feel like, let me drop this single tomorrow, you know, yo. If it sells, yeah. No direction. Ask them, all this thing you are doing, where are you headed? They don't know. Well, life is just about, you know, you make money. You think so? Then life is empty there. There's something better than money. Money is something that was created by man. How can God make man to live his life just for something that was created by a man? Money was made by men. That's failure. there is something more about life. They are lying. The guy may be jumping on stage, singing, shouting, or acting, or whatever. Let him be alone. There is still a vacuum there. It's empty. That vacuum is in the size of God. Only God can fill it. Only God. That's why you may not have a lot of money right now. But because that vacuum is filled, you are still full of joy anyhow. You are still full of joy. You are worshiping by yourself. You are full of joy. You are like, you have everything already. You have Jesus. All is mine. You're just happy. You know, inside your spirit, they ask you what's making you happy. You can't explain why it has been filled. There is fulfillment in your spirit just for knowing Jesus. Let's read Ephesians chapter number 5, third verse. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named amongst you as becoming saints. Let it not be once named. Let it not happen one time that you were involved in fornication. Let it not be once named. Once is a sin enough. Not to talk of trying to do it again. You know, some people do it the first time and they still go for it again. Once is enough sin. That's what the Bible says. Not to talk of trying it again and again and again. Let's read it from the NLT. I'll read it down. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such things have no place among God's people. We don't live our life like that. Next verse. Obscene stories. Some people like to tell obscene stories. Obscene stories, foolish talk, cross jokes. These are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. They are not for you. No, you should not be found. Next verse. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Next verse. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these things. For the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Wow. The Bible says that judgment shall start from the house of God. Interesting. He says you should fear. Next verse. Don't participate in the things these people do. Which people? The people of the world. Disobedient children, they are called. Don't participate. Are you a Christian? Then what is the matter with you? Stay with Christ. Don't participate. Why do you want to be like somebody who does not have God, who does not carry Christ, who does not have the Holy Spirit? You want to be like someone like that? Do you know who you are as a Christian? Do you know who you are? The Bible calls you the light of the world. Why would you want to function like darkness? These are darkness. The Bible calls them darkness. Why would you love to be like darkness? Why would you love to copy them? Their ways, the ways of darkness. You just like, when the guy comes up like that with all the hair plates and then, chewing gum like that, and he's talking. You love it. You wish you could be like that. I don't blame you. You don't understand what you carry. If you understand, you know that guy, when you sit him down and talk, he should, what kind of wisdom is this? They do foolish things, and yet it's wisdom to them. You listen to some of them, you know, if you're spiritual, as you listen, you go like, oh, prayer. Change the channel. Because foolish things will be coming out, you know, abundantly, it will be flowing out. And you just be wondering, where is the reservoir? Only God knows what they have there. And that's exactly what they will sing in songs, act in films. And you watch it and you'll be laughing. yes, let me tell you the story. Is this one that first fell in love with that one? The other one, shame on you. Proverbs chapter number 5, verse 15. Proverbs 5, 15. Quick now, rush hour. Drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife. Say only with your wife. Important. Next verse. Why spill the water of your springs in the streets? Having sex with just anyone. Some people are like this. How do you even feel comfortable having sex with just anyone? Who is he saying you should have sex with? Your wife. Who is your wife? The one that God has chosen for you and that you are married to. Anyone you are not married to is not your wife. Which means, let me show you something there. Let's read on. Next verse. You should reserve it. Reserve what? Sexual intercourse. For yourselves. You and your wife. Never share it with strangers. There are those who have had intercourse with other people's wives. The guy, the girl is not going to marry you. That's someone's wife in the future that you're already seeing, but you are sleeping with her. Not your wife. All these things, you don't know that the Bible talks about everything. It's all in the scripture. It's when you don't know the Bible. You say, what about this? I don't think the Bible talks about it. So you want to live anyhow. Everything is in the world. Everything. If you want to locate yourself, go to the Bible. You locate yourself. Everybody is there. Everybody. You want to find out your life, the way you are going. How will I end up? You want to plot your graph. Go to the scriptures. You'll be able to plot it with the way you're going. Everyone is there. Everyone. Let's read on. Next verse. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Now, one moment. Because I understand that there are people that think, you know, but we are still finally going to get married. But you are not married. I promise you, that's the person I will marry. Now, listen to this. That's another big trouble. I taught you about words just now. And that's why some people never have settled marriage. When they now finally get married, no settled marriage. Because they've used their mouths wrongly. I will marry you. Because of the sex you want to have with her, the girl said, tell me, oh, you might say, I will marry you. Now, after everything, he says, I can't marry her. He now goes another way. Marry someone else. You now wonder why you're having problem in your marriage. You once upon a time put a law to work with another person. Even if you finally married her, brothers and sisters, you have built a wrong foundation. If the foundation is wrong, what you put on it will come down. You wonder why some people have some kind of funny children in Bessel. You're wondering. Because the foundation was wrong. Chapter 6, same book, verse 25 into 26. A heart that plots evil, 25. Don't lust for her beauty. Don't let her coy glances seduce you. Next verse. For a prostitute will bring you to poverty, but sleeping with another man's wife will cost you your life. Who's a prostitute? I'll tell you what the Bible says about a prostitute shortly. King James, symbol. For by means of a warish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. No wonder there are many pieces of bread all over. Do you know what it means to be brought to a piece of bread? Just because of this sex that you want to have. And you put your destiny on the lap of a Delilah. You offer your destiny. Why? Sex. You are like Esau, who profaned his birthright just for this meal. Somebody you don't know who he is or who she is. How were you not ashamed? How were you not afraid to have let someone else discover your nakedness? Or you discover someone else's nakedness that is not even your wife or your husband? How? What were you thinking? What were you thinking? Is this how valuable you are to yourself? Is this what you are? Is this your worth? According to the Bible, who is a prostitute? A prostitute is the one that gives herself to the other guy because of something. Now, not only money. You know, in today's world, it's for money. Because people don't care about any other thing. Money. Okay? But according to the word of God, it's not just money. In Genesis chapter number 38, you study there, you notice that Judah, when he went to meet somebody who acted like a prostitute, his daughter-in-law, Tamar, when he went to meet her, when he wanted to sleep with her, she asked him, "What will you give me?" Not just money. And he promised her an animal. So you see, who is a prostitute? The one who gives, maybe you say, why are you giving your body to him? Because I love him. So what do you want? You want to gain his love or his favor. It may be for money reason. It may be because you just want somebody to be there, to be called your boyfriend. That's what you are gaining from him at the moment. Or you just want, you know, somebody you can introduce and say, "I also have a boyfriend." That relationship is what you are selling your body for. That's still prostitution. Because there is something you are gaining from it. That's how the Bible pictures it. How could you? It's now worse if you're a Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 from the 15th verse. "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Don't you know? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot?" God forbid. God forbid. He has to quickly say, "God forbid." There are some things in the kingdom that you quickly say, "God forbid." That's what this guy is saying. This is a spiritual man talking. He says, "God forbid." Next verse. "What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two seeth he shall be one flesh." Ah. So sexual intercourse makes you become one flesh with the other person. Huh? Only God knows how many flesh some people have become one with. That's why sometimes you notice, as you look at your parents, it looks like they are beginning to resemble. These things are spiritual. You're joking with you. You think it's just about playing with somebody's body, and then you just jump and you say, bye. You are not buying anything. You leave that place. She is not leaving you. Or he is not leaving you. NLT. Go to NLT. From the 15th verse. NLT. Our own English. "Don't you realize that your bodies are actually part of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a harlot? Never." Next verse. "And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say, the two are united into one." Next verse. "But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad for that. Next verse. "Run from sexual sin." The Spirit of God giving this kind of instruction. Run! No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. No other one. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. No other sin. No wonder some of the terrible diseases come through sexual intercourse. Terrible diseases. Well, we use protection. No. Listen. There are diseases that come even with the protection. Go and study. Terrible diseases. Why? Because that's the realm of the devil. It's his realm, the realm of demons. This is why wonderful, great, planned destinies. You just wonder, when the guy was born, they prophesied over him. They said, "This child you just had, this baby, great destiny. Everybody is happy." But the child starts growing, chooses another way. You see? Didn't heed to all that they said to him. A prophet prophesied. They said this about you. If suddenly forgets it and begins to work in the path of destruction. If you are in that path today, it's not too late. You can make a change, a turn quickly, and get in the right path and march on from there. Next verse. "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you. I was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself. He says, it's not my body. No, it's not your body. You do not belong to yourself. You're a Christian. No, not anymore. Anything you do with your body now, you will explain to him. You tell him, you answer to him. Next verse. For God bought you with a high price. Oh God. So you must honor God with your body. Bought me with a high price. Are you not? Have you not seen guys? They will even pay to go to prostitute. I don't know whether those things still exist. Maybe they are still brothels like that. But in those days, they will pay to go to a brothel to sleep with somebody you don't know who she is. Why? Pleasure. Even as students, I even knew of one. Not brothel now. I think they picked her from the road. Some students in our hostel picked her from the road. These students of another school in this effect, they do it. They said they use it to sponsor themselves in school. Picked her. She'll come in like a decent girl, but she's been paid. Your destiny. Those who make it to the top are those who have made up their mind that nothing will stop them. They just made up their mind. Listen, we'll go to heaven. Huh? We'll go to heaven. But before we go, let's shake this world. I shouldn't leave this place that my name is not known. It's not heard. Can I leave this place like somebody that never came? Every one of us in your area, you could be known. Listen, it will give glory to God. Not because you are pursuing that thing, because you just live correctly. You live your life and my life will give glory to God. So you make up your mind, my life is going to give glory to God. Finally, the pleasure of pride. Now, the first six that I just mentioned, the devil gains access, can enter your destiny through sexual intercourse, through food, through sleep, laziness, and so on. Okay? That's the devil's realm. But this one is God himself. The Bible says God himself resists you. So we have just 1, 2, 3. Three scriptures to read there and close. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3:34. The Lord mocks the mockers, but is gracious to the humble. This is the secret of great men. The higher you go, the more humble you become. The higher you go, because you will learn a lot of things from the Spirit of God. You will learn. Why do you think that people like Bishop David Oyedepo, you know, you may not know that Bishop Oyedepo is humble because he preaches faith. You know, some of us that preach things like that, people confuse it. They say, these ones, are they humble? But he will never be there if he's not humble. He will never be up there. Don't mistake his boldness, his confidence, with humility, with pride. You know, when I'm preaching here now, some people who don't know me say, this man looks like somebody that is proud. But if I'm proud, there will be no grace. But yet, I've increased in grace in my life every time. God cannot break his word. He can't, because I have favorite, and then he will break his word over favorite. There's no such thing like that with God. If you ever get more grace, that means you are humble. Others may not see it. It doesn't matter. God, who sees the heart, knows. He's gracious. That means he gives grace to the humble. Towards the humble, he's gracious. Why is it like that? We don't know. It's part of God's nature. That's his nature. That's how he deals with people. When he sees that you're humble, why? Because everything you have, he wants you to acknowledge that he gave them to you. Everything. And acknowledging that will bring you humility. To make you to be humble. But when you are proud, you are trying to take the place of God. And the Bible says he's a jealous God. So he will say, let's see. Another scripture. We have two more now. James chapter 4, verse 7. James 4, 7. So, humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. First, you have to humble yourself. If you humble yourself, you'll be able to resist the devil. If you don't humble yourself, even God himself will stand against you. You are resisting the devil. It's not going. In these other areas that we've just looked at now, these first six, in those areas, no matter what, somewhere, you can still stand up against the devil and say, devil, okay, I repent. I've changed. No more. Stop. Stop the nonsense. Enough. But this one, if you don't do this, you will not be able to resist the devil. You will never. If this is not there, you must humble yourselves before God. There are two before. You understand? Before that, you have to humble yourself before God and before men. That's what the Bible teaches. You humble yourself before God, then you humble yourself before men. These two things are important. There are men who are graced. There are men who are ahead. You must humble yourself. There are men who are even at the same position. You must see God in them. Humble yourself. It says, humble yourself before God, before men. Let me show you more. Let me show you more. Finally, 1 Peter chapter 5, from verse 5. Give all your... Verse 5. Good. In the same way, you younger men must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you serve each other in humility. One day I'll talk about that. For God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. Opposes the proud. Now, people don't understand what it means to be proud. I think that's another issue. Opposes the proud, but favors. You know, God looks at your heart. If you're proud, he knows. Some people will sit down with all humility, but in their heart, they are thinking, what does this man think he knows? Is that even how to preach it? That's not what that scripture says. That's not what he says. He did not see. You see, all that is going on, but you sit down, you know, you may even be smiling and looking serious, but God sees the heart. And I say, stand up. And you quickly stand up. Yes, sir. And some people say, the guy is so humble. The only person that sees the heart is God. That's why you are looking at the wrong thing. And say, that guy looks proud. How come, what is he doing there as the boss? God has put him there because God sees his heart. He appears tough on the outside, but he's humble on the inside. When he's back in his room, you don't know what he's doing. He's on his face in tears. Lord, I give you praise. Everything that I have, you gave it to me. Blessed be your name. How could you have lifted a man like this? Like I would say to God, I don't have to tell you all my secret, okay? A few of several words. I say, Lord, this is the Apostle Victor Peters. This one. Is this the Apostle Victor Peters? This one. Father, I give you praise. They need to know that you are the secret of my life. Nothing. Once God steps out.
It will never happen. Glory to God, though.
It's the secret. If I'm preaching bold here, no, I don't preach bold before God, though. You have to understand. Many times with tears. Not because you are hungry. Not because you need money. You're just in tears, just thanking God. Just appreciating God. And you remember how he picked you. All of that. And you're crying. Nobody is beating you. You're just there. Tears are just coming. I say, Father, how could you bless me with your presence this much? How could you? Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for the understanding of the word of God. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I can't get those words out of my mind. I can't even finish before tears start. Oh, God, thank you. When I'm done, shut my door, come out, and I say, come out, stand up from there. You don't know. I have people from here. See, this man is tough. That's what you think. Humility is so important. King James of this version, this same book. Okay. It says, for God resisteth, like you resist the devil. He says, resist the devil and you flee. He says, God himself resisted. He resisted. He opposes. the proud. The proud. He opposes, he resisted the proud. The proud is trying to do something great. No. He's not the devil, he's God. He wants to go this way. No. He wants to go the other way. No. Some people are proud to their siblings. That's why they are not living their level. Some others is to their parents. They are not living their level. Some others is to their friends. They are proud like, we shall see. And in that, they are using scope to compete. We shall see. And God is watching. He's there. Watch. He resisted. Next verse. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If you stay humble, there's a due time. The time comes when God lifts you. Nobody will be able to stop. They may not like it. It's their business. They can't change. God will just say, have you seen somebody that is lifted? And everybody, that guy shouldn't be there. He shouldn't have been in that position. What does he think he is? But God has lifted him. You can't do nothing. Because now is the due time. It's the set time. Set time. Listen. Even if the guy is like this, anyone that God has promoted, anyone that God has honored, honor the person. That's true humility. True humility. If you are proud, you are going nowhere. You may be deceiving yourself now. Go and buy the latest canvas. Buy this and buy. Wear long chain. And be this. It's still your level now. They are still giving, sending you money. When you come out, humility will run and catch you. You won't bother to be humble. It will catch you. Because when situations are of life start dealing with you, when you show up in a place and you are proud, they say, what are you here for? I'm here to look for a job. You say, in this place, your father's coming. Get out. And you see hunger dealing with you. The next place you go, when you see a tiny girl and say, what are you looking for? You say, yes, ma'am. Humility, humility, humility. This last one is God that does it, and it's very terrible. He resists the proud. He resists. You don't want God to resist you. Even his children, he resists his children that are proud. He will stand against them. The unbelievers will say, there is no God. His children that say, there is God, they say, yes, I know. God can do it. Why didn't you do it now? I believe in him, but why didn't you do it? Pride. He looks at someone, are we not equal? What is it? Why should you idolize the man of God? What is it? He's not a man like me. Pride. He will not receive from that anointing. It's a joke. He may say, preacher, man of God, preacher, man of God. In his heart, he's thinking, he's not a man. Does he not eat? Are you deceiving yourself? Why is he needing that like that for him? Why? For what? I can't even do that. You see, he's proud. He carries something that you need. Don't deceive yourself. Why should you be deceiving yourself? He carries something you need. He said, no. Okay, we shall see. Stand to your feet. All these listed. It's a message. This is a message. The Lord gave me this message for you. And that's the number one reason for this gathering. Because he wants to correct some things in our lives. And he wants to open, some of you, wants to open your destiny. He wants to improve your life. Improve you. Improve you. Improve you. And it starts actually with your thought life. Then your words and so on and so forth. The first thing I want you to do now is to ask God for mercy. Listen, the importance of mercy. Just ask God. Tell him to have mercy on you. Wherever you have missed it, God sees your heart. He knows your honesty. Open your mouth and ask him to have mercy on you. Tell him to have mercy on you. Talk to him truly from your heart. Open up truly.